Today, our scripture reading comes from the prophets, Prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. It is a long one, so bear with me. Please join along in reading it as it's on your screen. This is from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many laying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and tell them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. They lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones as the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, have spoken and will act. Thus says the Lord."
And the unmuted said, "Thanks be to God." It seems that technology is not our friend today, but we are going to make the most of it, even if that means popping in and out of the slide presentation on my phone. There we go. And we're back to what has quickly become one of my favorite parts of virtual church, which is the blessing of the children. So, if you are somebody's baby of any age, whatever age that might be, I want you to come real close, come really close. I was on a video chat with some friends who have toddlers yesterday, and all I could see was a big eyeball and baby face. So that's what we're looking for. And if you are a grown-up, somebody's child, you come close to the screen too. Aw, aw. I'm seeing pictures on phones. That'll do. Oh, okay. Izzy's back. Izzy was having a moment. She's ready now. Hi, Izzy. For the children this morning, if you are able, on our website, we sent out a little note to your parents. And on the website, there are a few activity pages. So there's a connect the dots picture, there is a coloring page, and there is also a coloring page for teenagers. And we marked it that way because this particular text, as you might imagine, can be a little bit daunting for little people to think about a Valley of Dry Bones. So we did a youth friendly and we did a teen goth friendly. And don't worry, the English teacher also put a word puzzle up there. So we're using all of our resources for our young people this morning. And I'm seeing the cat on the screen. The cats are babies too. So if you have your pets, bring your pets to virtual church this morning. The question that I have for the younger ones, and I'll ask you to just have your parents type the answer in the chat box for you. The question that I want to ask you is this: do you feel like you've been cut off from your friends? Do you feel like you miss your teachers in school? Do you miss the routine and, I know, even the cafeteria? Do you miss what life was like a week ago, even as much as some days you might not want to go to school? Do you miss the way it used to be? Just have your parents type in the box. I'm already seeing yes. There is already a hearty yes in the chat box. Oh, there's a no. I don't miss school, but I miss my friends. Good answer. Same. My guess is, oh, being missing going on walks through the neighborhood. Deacon and Sebastian, the pastor's kids, are giving a whole uppercase yes. Yes, I miss my friends. I miss school. This is what the people who were hearing that long scripture that Lars just read, this is what they were feeling. They were feeling like their lives had been changed and they were missing what was familiar. They missed all the things that had been happening in their lives, things they had gotten used to. And here's what I want to offer to you this morning. The blessing that we give is very simple and it is very easy to remember. And it is something that you can even say to yourself, you can say to your siblings, you can say it to your parents. And it's just a blessing to remind you that God knows that you are missing all of the things that were once normal for you. God is well aware that your life has changed and you're home all day with your parents. And so there are those of us who are praying for you and praying with you. But the good news is that God still loves us. And no matter how difficult it seems, God is still with us and God is still loving us. And so we want to offer you just the words of blessing. They're the same words from last week. It's the same God from last week. It's the same church community that loved you before last week and will love you well into the future. So with, in my imagination, all of the voices of everyone in this community, we offer this to you. God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. This is a blessing for you from God through us. God loves you and we love you. Oh, I miss hockey. That's a good one. I would miss my sport too. I actually do miss my sport. There we go. So again, if this is your first time worshiping with us, I want to welcome you on behalf of the Arch Street community, both virtual and live and in person. We're grateful for the technology. We're grateful for the opportunity to just share with you. And we hope that you will, as soon as we are able to do so safely, that you will join us at the corner of 18th and Arch in the sanctuary. It looks a lot like my background. This is not our forever. This is just our right now. And so we are glad to have all who have been able to join, and I'm grateful for all who've pressed through whatever technology glitches we have had this morning. So I want to first say that one of the good things about having this technology is we don't have screens in our sanctuary. And I would not have been able to present this picture to you if we were together in person and in paper in the sanctuary. This photograph, and now is not the time to show your math skills,
This photograph is 25 years old, and I was 25 years old at the time. Mind your business. I was in the presence of some friends and some colleagues, and I was also in the presence of two of my heroes, Reverend Jesse Jackson and Reverend Joseph Lowery. There were other heroes of the civil rights movement gathered that day, and they were headed off to Africa for a conference. And I was there to see my friends off, and even though these are giants who in other settings might have had bodyguards and might not have been able to get close to the people, this day we were in Philadelphia Airport before TSA, and we were just laughing, as you can see, and having a wonderful time. And it was that day that history became real for me. I had heard about Reverend Lowery, but I didn't really have a face to put with the name, as they say. I now have a face to put with the name. I have a laugh to put with the name. And so the announcement of his death hit me a little bit harder than I expected. However, what I can say is in 98 years of living, he probably fulfilled what Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter. He fought the good fight, he finished his course, and he kept the faith. And so my memory of Reverend Lowery is sitting side by side with this Ezekiel text. And so that was problematic for me. The graphic image of the Valley of Dry Bones is powerful all by itself on an ordinary day. But in the time of the coronavirus, when we're unable to properly or ritually bury those who we love, who have gone from this life to the next, the Valley of Dry Bones is a little too literal. As we, the body of Christ, walk with Jesus and we consider our own mortality in the spirit, in the season of Lent, we're given a respite on Sunday. Sunday is the day when we remember the resurrection, but that feels off kilter today. Today, I want to ask, how did we get here? How did we get to the place where the reported numbers of those infected and the mortality rates in the US are so high? How did we get to the place where an infant's death is newsworthy? How did we get to the place where we're haggling over the price and delivery of necessary medical supplies? How did we get to this place? I asked the same questions in the text. How did those bones end up in the valley? How deep was the valley and how many bones did it hold? Were those the bones of the ritually unclean that people just discarded because they couldn't touch them because it would be too dangerous for them? What did the dry bones displace in the valley? Did the valley have grass and flowers, and were they covered by the bones? Of course. Did God care for those bones? Did God care for those bodies? What is the story of the bones and the bodies? When you look at the Bible, sometimes they'll give you a subheading, and this text is often referred to as the Valley of the Dry Bones. But to pull myself out of a space of focusing on what seems to be right in front of my face, I have to, and I would encourage all of us, to pull back and get a different perspective. It's tempting to focus on the valley and the bones before us. It's tempting to listen only to what the media says and to take that as our truth. The media would have our turn our attention to the gloom and doom and the impossibility of the situation. Our faith, however, calls us to take a step back and look at a slightly larger picture. Lent, Eastertide, Passover, all of these celebrations remind us that the present is not all there is. There is a past that was before us, and there is a future that is ahead of us. Passover reminds us that what is present is just part. It is not the whole. There's a larger story, and God has authored that story, and God is a God of compassion. The vision is given to Ezekiel as part of the restoration oracles. This is just one in a series of stories where God talks about how God is going to give back everything that they need. God is going to rebuild. God is going to rebrand. God is going to revive the house of Israel. But that doesn't mean that there won't be a situation that happens that causes us to need revival. It doesn't mean we won't face a situation that exempts us from needing to be renewed. It doesn't mean that there won't be moments when we will feel absolutely helpless and hopeless. When we feel like grief is all that's available, we're reminded that the bones in the text were already dry. The bones in the text were without breath, but they were not without possibility. How they got there is not the focus of the text.
the way out of the valley is actually the focus of the text. What if we renamed this text the breath of God and not the valley of dry bones? When we get stressed, one of the first things that we do is we hold our breath because we're afraid to breathe. We're afraid to take in the one thing that sustains our very life. The fear factor of the coronavirus is that it's also airborne. And so we cover our mouth, we cover our nose. We're careful about the air that we breathe in. According to what we know now, when someone who is infected coughs or sneezes into the air, there's a 6-foot range for the droplets. So many of us have been holding our breath and trying to keep 6 feet different distance to keep ourselves safe. The good news in the text is right here where God says, I will cause breath to enter you. There is no mask you can put on your face that will keep my breath from you. There is no dry place. There is no valley that my breath cannot reach. So many of us have been holding our breath, and God is now offering us a chance to breathe again. God basically is overriding anyone who would in their arrangements, right, that they have a DNR, a do not resuscitate. We are all open for resuscitation by the divine breath that gives, sustains, and revives our dried out bones. The text concludes with a dramatic scene where we learn how God brings the breath to the bones. God tells the prophet, prophesy to the breath, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds and breathe upon those slain that they might live. The prophet says, I prophesied as God commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. That multitude was the house of Israel. That multitude is also us right now. Once again, we who have been dried out, dried in a heap of piled up bones, lifeless, confused, feeling as if we have been cut off from all life, God has now breathed on us, and we are able to stand together with not having fear of the virus, but having life that has come from God. This week, as you go about your work, as you go about your playtime, as you go about your family life, whether that is homeschooling or no schooling, as you go about your prayer life, and as you make your way through what might feel like the most challenging season you've ever faced, when you find yourself holding your breath, when you find yourself dehydrated, when you find yourself turning blue in the face, when you find yourself withholding life from yourself, I want to invite you to receive the life-giving, fear-shattering, hope-dispensing breath of God. As we request and receive the breath and the spirit of the living God, we remember that God has not abandoned us. God has not forgotten us. God is not unfamiliar with our pain. God has not deemed us untouchable or unreachable. God reaches down and with God's own divine mouth breathes life into each of us. These are the times that are unfamiliar to us, but our God of restoration, is very familiar to us. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And God is as close as your very next breath. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Come from the four winds and blow in us brand new life. Blow away our fear and gift us with the gift that is your life. Revive us, refresh us, renew us, we pray. Amen.